It's Friday, and next week will most likely be a short work week for many of you as the nation celebrates Thanksgiving. Next week on this broadcast, we're going to also be thankful, and I'm going to do something a little bit different than I have done thus far. I'm going to read to you a story that I've written as a way to reflect on Thanksgiving. So I want to come at Thanksgiving from a bit of a different angle. You're going to hear the first part of this story on Monday at 4:30 p.m. right here on WEZE, so I hope that you will tune in, and I hope that you'll also invite a few friends to listen. Elements of the Bible will, of course, be woven together in the storyline, but for next week, I'm moving to a narrative as a way to think together about who God is. So that's all next week on God Is. I look forward to having you with me for that. As I've been encouraging you to do, write to me and let me know if you have any comments, questions, or insights. Every day we remind you that I'd like to hear from you, and I'm very serious about it. It's kind of a fascinating experience to speak into this microphone and to not yet have a sense for who is hearing this on the other end via the radio and podcast. So I'm praying that we'll be able to create a two-way communication with one another via email and social media. I really would value the opportunity to get to know you just a little bit and to share with one another what's going on in each other's lives through these various ways, email and social media. I just want to give you a reminder then of my email address. It is mark@markaswallow.com. mark@markaswallow.com. Sometimes people forget to put the letter A in the second half there, so let me read it for you again, just to make sure you got it. Then Karen will come along later and remind you of it, as usual. But it's Mark, M-A-R-K, at markaswallow.com. Just drop me a quick word this weekend and let me know how you're responding to what I've been sharing with you. We can correspond about anything. And then on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, it's God Is W-E-Z-E. God Is W-E-Z-E. I do post there, and these are some other ways that you and I can be in conversation with one another. All right, today I want to introduce you to something that I want to do just from time to time, and I'm going to call this Friday is for Q&A. Friday is for Q&A. Question and answer. I'll try to take as many questions as I can respond to in the time that I have and answer them for you. So when you write to me with a question, I'll ask your permission to answer it on the air without mentioning names. Oftentimes, other people have the same questions that you have, and so by answering them here, more people can have their questions answered. Friday is for Q&A. Today, I have two. First, this person writes and says, I'm a Christian, and I hear that you are saying that we should pray for family members and friends to worship the one true God. I totally agree. But I admit that I am really not sure how to pray about this. Any practical advice? Yes, I do have some practical and pragmatic advice for you. Of course, prayer is a discipline. And as I will always be honest on this broadcast, I'll tell you that I personally have a long way to go in establishing a better discipline for prayer in my life. As with you, my life is busy, and I am often inundated by so much information that I can get distracted by those other things. So I find that prayer is easily squeezed out of my daily life if I'm not very careful to do the following. So here's my advice. First, get a hold of a cheap notebook. It doesn't have to be expensive. Then get a pen or a pencil, and on page one, write down the names of every person in your life who is not yet worshiping the one true God, Elohim. Just list their names. Are these family members, friends, colleagues at work, classmates and teachers at school? Could they be your enemies? Just list their names. Second, count up the number of names and then divide by seven. Now, you have a certain number of names per day. So if you pray 7 days a week, then on each particular day, take however many names you have and pray for those specific people on that specific day. So let's just use this as an example and say that you have 14 names. Well, 14 divided by 7 is 2, so every day you would pray for 2 of these names. But let's be more realistic, shall we? Let's say that in reality, you only pray for other people 4 days a week, and you still have those 14 names. Well, then you need to pray for 3.5 of these people each day. Now, how do you pray for half a person? Well, perhaps you just round up, pray for 4 people, or round down, pray for 3 people. Maybe you really do pray for half a person. It's up to you. So that's second. Now, third, find a biblical prayer to pray when you come to the names of these people. For example, Romans chapter 16, verses 17 through 18 talks about freedom from sin and about moving from being a slave to sin to become slaves of righteousness. This is what Romans chapter 6, verses 17 through 18 says. But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin, you became obedient from the heart to that form of teaching to which you were committed. And having been freed from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. So what you would do is take your name and pray to God with that name. Lord, I pray that name, who is now a slave to sin, will be obedient to you and will be freed from sin and become a slave of righteousness. Amen. Then repeat this the next week. Eventually, find other biblical prayers to match the names of the people in your life to those prayers and pray them to God. Vary the Bible prayers, though, otherwise you're going to get bored. As you pray, you'll find that God starts to answer you. He's going to open doors and windows for you to share the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, with the people on your list. And do not be surprised if he does this in some radical ways that will likely catch you off guard. Now, I am not saying that you have to do exactly what I do, okay? These are just some suggestions. By trial and error, find out what works for you. But I have at least tried to answer your practical question in a practical way. This is Friday, and Friday is for Q&A. And I have a second question here. This one actually goes back to our first week together on God Is. So before I give the question, let me remind you that podcasts for that week are available on 590amtheword.com. Click the podcasts, and God is in the bottom left-hand corner. Click and listen. 590amtheword.com. This will be repeated at the end today. So this woman writes, "You said that the Bible is your source for telling us who God is. Could nature also be a source?" So I responded and asked for clarification. I said, "By nature, I assume you mean trees, skies, mountains, etc." She said she did, and so then I told her this. Assuming that nature points us to the maker and the controller of nature, assuming the created worship the creator God and do not worship the created, which would be pantheism, then yes. But that still doesn't get everyone who sits with nature to the same God. Hindus believe God is nature. Buddhists and the New Age philosophers think that we could be one with nature. So the Bible is still essential to identify the God of nature. We don't worship nature. We worship the one who made the creation. I pointed her, and now you today, to Romans chapter 1 and verses 18 through 25. You can read this on your own. Let me give it to you again. Romans 1, verses 18 through 25. Romans 1, verses 18 through 25. What we read in Romans 1 is reflective of a problem we have at present. Let me read Romans 1, verses 23 and 25. "They exchanged the glory of the incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, and of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. For they exchanged the truth of God for a lie, and worshipped and served the creature rather than the creator." A lot of people do this today. They worship and serve the creature rather than God the Creator. And that is why nature or creation can be a source for telling us who God is, but we still require the Bible, the Word of God, to tell us about the Creator who made the creation and to command us not to worship the actual creation, but to worship Him as the Creator. To worship God as the Creator, and not to worship the trees, the rocks, the sky, the mountains. I hope this makes sense to you. And that concludes today. Friday is for Q&A. Now, if you have a question for me, just write me an email at mark@markaswallow.com, and I will respond and perhaps share it on the air at a Friday in the future, but only if I have your permission to do so. Well, everybody, enjoy your weekend, and please be in a Bible-believing church this Sunday. Find a church that teaches and practices the gospel. And what is the gospel? It's this. Jesus Christ has died for our sins. He has been resurrected from the dead so that all who believe in Him by faith will be saved from our sins and will also be brought back from the dead to live with God forever. That is the gospel. That is the truth about God and about you. And I pray that this weekend you will find a church that teaches this and practices this. Now remember, on Monday, I'm going to share part one of a 5-part story that I've written as a way to reflect on Thanksgiving. So please join me on Monday for God is.